Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth of PaleoParents.com. You might also know me as the broth lady or the inventor of the hashtag more vegetables than a vegetarian. I'm the co-author of several paleo cookbooks, including Eat Like a Dinosaur, Beyond Bacon, Real Life Paleo. I like to talk about health at any size and self-love and personal acceptance. Specifically, I have a love for lifting heavy things. If you're interested in finding more out about that, you can also find me on Strong Woman Radio.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Ballantyne of thepaleomom.com. I'm the New York Times bestselling author of The Paleo Approach and The Paleo Approach Cookbook. I'm passionate about nutrient density and the intersection of diet and lifestyle with health, which really means I just love talking about science.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up and you get to listen to our gossip. Sarah, I'm super excited to jump into the show that we're going to have, but also it's been a week since we talked, and it would be really weird if we didn't just have, like, a moment to connect.
You know,
like, let's pretend like all of our listeners.
You.
I know. Let's pretend like all of our listeners aren't listening and do girl catch up. I saw that your husband celebrated his 40th birthday this week. You guys are so old.
Yes. Okay, so his age starts with a whole different number for my age and will for like the next 16 months. So we're good. I told him he should try out 40 and let me know how it goes. And then I'll decide if I'm going to follow or not. I don't know what my other options are at the moment, but you know, we'll try it out. But we had like basically his dream birthday party.
I was jealous I was not invited. I mean, it looked really fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a moment where I was like, I wonder if I can invite people to like fly down for this. Then I was like, that's a lot like to ask people to do. But so we had it at the little local independent theater that my kids have taken drama classes at for the last 2 years. My husband took improv classes there last year, and it's just become this like home away from home. The couple who owns it are like the most amazing couple. Like, we just want to be their friends. We're basically paying to do stuff at their theater so we can stalk them, basically, is what's happening.
I do that with my friends. I just stalk them until they, you know, join my cult.
This is we're working on it. And so we had like an improv party. So what we did was, you know, we invited all our friends and we did like an hour that was like an improv workshop. So it was like participation optional, but like a bunch of different improv games that whoever wanted to could jump up. And then because it was also our 12th wedding anniversary, because that's the way we roll, they had a lot of like, you know, me versus my husband type things too, which was really, really fun. And so my friends are spunky. I didn't realize my friends were like that with alcohol in them, because they're like the friends I talked to at the bus stop while we wait for our kids to come off the bus. I'm like, I learned a whole different side of them, and like, I like them all the more. So like, it was pretty fun. And then my husband and like four other members from his improv troupe from last year then did like a mini performance. And so then they performed for, it was like 30 or 40 minutes, and they did a bunch of games. And it was like, it just took like everything that like us amateurs have been doing to this whole other level. And I mean, I signed up for improv classes for this fall. My best friend in Atlanta signed up for improv classes for this fall. I think at least two other people who came to the party are still thinking about it. It was such an amazing, right? It was funny, but it was also cathartic. And you know, this great, you know, social bonding and connection. And so then we had dinner, and it was catered by Farm Burger, which is a local grass-fed and like local food burger chain. And they have shops in Georgia and California and I think Tennessee, although now I'm starting to doubt whether or not I have that accurate. And they brought the food. They set up this burger bar. It was 100% gluten-free. And then it was paleo, except for there was like gluten-free buns
optional.
And there was some feta cheese, right? But it was like, and there was some cheddar, right? So it was completely, right? There was some dairy that was optional, and there was some non-paleo gluten-free buns that were optional. But it, like, there was tons of stuff that I could eat. Like, everybody, there's a bunch, you know, apparently we make friends with people with various food sensitivities. So like everybody was able to get an amazing meal and everybody loved it. And they just did an amazing job. They came, they set it up, and it was like beautiful too, right? Like they did things like they have this style where everything's sort of on like recycled, like brown paper bag type paper. And they had, you know, like all the little things were in mason jars, and it was just like, it was so nicely done. And then, cause I was also trying to simplify writing 2 books, need to simplify. So, I got a cake from our local, gluten-free, allergy-free bakery, and that's sort of paleo plus rice. So, other than they use rice flour, all of their ingredients are paleo friendly. And they're just the most amazing cakes, gluten-free cutie. I think you can actually order some things online. So if anybody wants to look them up, but they just made this huge like Pollyanna cake. And then I just dated myself again there with a Pollyanna reference that probably 3 people understood. Do you know what I mean with the Pollyanna cake?
I think we have more than 3 people who are in your age bracket.
Oh, dang.
Okay, all seriousness. Before you continue.
Do you know what I mean by Pollyanna cake?
No.
Do you know what I mean
not.
By Pollyanna?
That okay. is the generational so you know the difference movie? With, between you and I. Like, that 5 years is big.
It's just true. It's true. We're, like, completely different.
I'm in, cultural. Like, the internet cultural generation.
Right.
Like, it's
And I
just...
got my first computer when I was 13, and it was a TRS-80. So. But see, a bunch of people were like, wow! And a bunch of people are like, what's a TRS-80? So it didn't have a hard drive. And so if you wanted to play a game on it, you had to program it yourself in BASIC. And we had like a book of computer games, and you would turn the computer on. Then you would type in, you would program your game, and then you would hit run, and then you could play the game, and then you would turn off the computer and the game would be gone. That was our first computer when I was 13 years old. Just saying I'm old is all I'm saying. But so Pollyanna, okay. Pollyanna, the movie at the end, she goes to this bazaar and then the cook makes this like giant cake and they're like huge, huge pieces. So basically it's a really, really big, like tall, lots of icing, like multi, you know, triple layer cake, Pollyanna cake for everyone. Pollyanna is an amazing movie, but you'll cry at the end. So just full warning. But it was an amazing cake and we stayed way longer than the party was supposed to go to. The couple that owned the theater were very nice and didn't kick us out. And then Sunday morning, I didn't even drink. And I was like crawling out of bed in the morning. I felt so delicate just from the late night. And I was like, oh man, it was so much fun. It was so worth it though. So yes, awesome birthday party.
So while you were having a wonderful weekend, I got food poisoning. It was not so awesome.
No, that's the opposite of my weekend.
It was the opposite of your weekend for sure. So I just kind of, I think it'll be good information for people with the topic that we're going to have to also kind of reemphasize a topic that we've talked about previously in terms of like the best thing for people to do when they get really sick and have what we lovingly called an everyone out moment, which is what I was experiencing late Saturday and Sunday, is to re-inoculate your gut bacteria with healthy bacteria and focus on nourishing, nutrient-dense foods. We're going to talk a lot about those in this podcast, but specifically for me, I've been focused on drinking broth, and specifically Matt made me Stacy soup, which is like really vegetable intense and also has broth and lots of vital proteins and probiotic foods. So I am a terrible human being and don't have probiotics in the house. It's just I don't know why I don't have them other than they need to be refrigerated and I have a really hard time choosing them and have no idea where someone sells them in town. So I've been eating sauerkraut and grass-fed yogurt and kombucha to get some varied sources of probiotic foods today. And then I also, can you tell me what the difference between like Melcula honey and regular raw honey? Like why is the one that starts with an
Manuka?
M? Yeah, Manuka. Why is it magical?
Manuka honey?
Yeah.
So I don't know. All right. I mean, it's been, there's been like some scientific studies that show that it like speeds wound healing and things like that. I know a little bit, but whether or not it's really that far superior to a good quality local raw honey, like I don't know, but it's basically, you know, got some anti-inflammatory and wound healing properties.
Yeah. So I put some of that in my yogurt.
I don't know if it's, well, that sounds good. I mean, it sounds tasty.
It was super tasty. Sure. And I'm telling myself that it's helping the healing and I feel really awesome. So that's what matters.
And you have an excuse to put honey in your yogurt, which is like, right? Pretty much.
Usually I just have to eat it decadent. And it tastes like sour cream, but all right.
Right.
So with that, maybe we should talk about actual legitimate nutrient stuff with some professionals.
Well, you have something coming up.
Oh my gosh. I totally have something.
You need to talk about
up.
The thing, because like I definitely want to bring our super awesome guests on, but you need to talk about this thing.
You're right.
Just reminding you.
And obviously I am not healing my brain with this manuka honey. So
it's late. It's a weeknight.
So I've been talking a little bit about the Reset and Thrive library. I've called it our upcoming bundle. We're actually calling it an e-library because there's definitely some confusion from our audience about what is a bundle and does it expire and, you know, does it go away and do I have to have a membership and all that kind of stuff. So just to kind of clarify, the Reset and Thrive library is something that my team and I have been working on for months, and we've been collecting kind of the top resources to what we referred to last week, I think, as Mother's New Year or back to school, right? So this idea that at the turn of when your kids go off to school, it's kind of a reset. And then what we wanted to do is come up with tools to enable people to kind of thrive at that reset rather than feeling really overwhelmed with the idea of, you know, having to pack lunches and having to get organized and having to create schedules, and a lot of people even homeschool. And so we've reached out to a lot of the people both in the paleo community and probably about 50% not in the paleo community to provide and share a lot of their resources that have to do with, you know, organization and planning, as well as cookbooks and organizational tools like printables that you can use to get yourself organized at this really busy time of year. And I have to tell you, I looked at the, you know, I've been working with the team, and this week we finalized the list of contributors. It's the same deal as the bundle that we offered over New Year's. It's entirely new resources. Actually, these resources have new content, never been put in a bundle before. So people can feel really good that you're getting value for it. What I meant was by the same deal as last time is you're getting 40 resources for $39. And in addition to that, the value of the total bundle is over $1,000 just in the resources themselves. Some of these, I was blown away that people were willing to contribute it. And that's because they saw what we put together last year and they were really excited to offer some of their tools. So, there's like a 6-week course from Grassfed Girl that's valued at $297. And I told the team, I was like, so are they including only like a portion of this? Or she's like, nope, you get full access to the whole consultation package when you sign up for this bundle, right? So like you get all of that plus 39 other resources for $39. And we also have a ton of vendors signed up who are offering coupons. So if you take advantage of, for example, Sarah, you're contributing something on sleep. So we worked with a mattress company who makes eco-friendly, healthy mattresses to help people have quality sleep to offer a coupon. So not just, you know, food and that kind of stuff. There's tons
Thanks.
Of those in there. Right?
That's really sweet.
Isn't that smart?
Like that's yeah. Yeah. You're like thinking about this and stuff.
We are. We tried to really, really be thoughtful because I know for when school starts, Matt is like both elated that the kids are not here and also a crazed maniac that he has to like get everybody off to school. And now with Wesley going as well, I feel like it'll be even more of like a crazy scene in the mornings. And so what we wanted to do was try to create a tool, like a you know, a library of tools that people could use to reset and thrive at the start of this back to school new year. And we're really excited to share it with people. It's gonna come out later this end of August. I'm trying to look at the date right now. And we will definitely share about it when it goes live here on the podcast, but it'll launch on Friday, August 21st, and it will only last through the 31st, right? That's how these things last, is people are excited to share their tools and get their names out and introduce people. That's part of why they want to sign up for these bundles, so that they can be introduced to you as a resource, and hopefully you will visit their website and check out their other books or ebooks as a result of being introduced to them. But on the flip side of that, they're not going to offer their tool forever at this super discount. So it's only for 10 days, August 21st through the 31st, 2015. What did I miss? What did I not say that I should have said?
That my book that I'm writing for this bundle is going to be awesome.
And it's on sleep.
And it's on sleep. And it's going to be awesome. And you can't get it anywhere else except the Reset and Thrive e-library. Yep. See, I did that. It's pretty awesome.
Cool.
So, I think you got it. And I think we'll get to talk about it next week if we need to, if we realize we missed anything.
Yes.
So I think we need to get our guests on, because
definitely there's a lot going on this week, and we really appreciate you listening and having patience with us as we chit-chat with one another and try to pull it all together for you. I cannot believe it's almost been 3 years, Sarah. These guests are coming on for a third time with their third book in the time that we've been doing this podcast.
That is yet another contributor to making me feel old. Thanks.
So I just want to state for the record that when I said that, like, really what I'm trying to say is you are a testament to everyone who has, you know, headed into their 40s, that you can be living your best life right now. Like, and I mean that sincerely. Like, when I look at where our lives were, I mean, I didn't know you back then, but I can, you know, I've gathered information from personal conversations and reading your story and seeing pictures and stuff like that, right?
Didn't, like, backwards stalk me is what you're saying.
Which, I mean, it's not stalking it for friends. I showed up at your doorstep, excellent, you'd be like, hey, come on in. You wouldn't be like, weirdo.
This is true. Yeah, no. So by the way, just mentioning to people that showing up at doorstep is the line of do not cross,
yeah,
of stalkers.
Right.
Friends, totally awesome. Stalkers.
So that's why I'm saying, like, that's how you know I'm not a stalker, that you would welcome me.
Because I would
call the cops.
Let you in if you showed up at my door. Okay, got it.
So
I probably, like, feel and hug you and everything.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, you and I are both, what I feel like, I'm, like, the healthiest and the most focused on getting to be even healthier and feeling even better. Like, I've never felt better. I walk 10,000 steps a day while I work a full-time job. And then I blog and I podcast in the evenings. Like, looking back on my life, I've been reading some of my older posts. Like, I didn't have the energy to even, like, walk around and do things during the day on a weekend. Like, it is unfathomable to me kind of how my life has transpired over the last 5 years. And I mean it with total love and affection when I say things like you're totally old, because to me, I don't think of you that way. Like, I think of you as lively and energetic and, you know, living like the life that you've wanted to create for yourself. Like, you got this new opportunity with finding paleo and you've taken the most out of it. And I think that there's nothing more as a testament to this nutrient dense lifestyle that we're both living than the lives that we are leading by example. And so I think it's really cool that you're not, you know, a 20 something. I mean, there's definitely, it's important that we have a variety in the community. That's not to say that people who are in their 20s, there's anything wrong with that. But I, but I think, like, it says a lot about someone to have gone through the journeys that we've gone through. And I felt kind of bad calling you an old lady a couple times in a row. And I wanted to make sure that you knew that I was saying it with, like, a heart. I mean, if you could see me right now, I'm doing one of those things where I'm making a heart with my hand and putting it over my heart.
You made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Should we talk about nutrients?
Yeah, let's segue from that to nutrients. Let's bring on our guests.
Awesome.
Next segment is Science with Sarah, where I take a moment to explain the details and the whys.
this week on the Paleo View, we're super excited to welcome back Jason and Mira Calton, who have been on the show twice before. I think there's no other term for you guys other than like fellow nutrient geeks. So welcome back to the show. We're super excited to geek out about nutrients with you guys. And apt to the topic, your new book, Micronutrient Miracle, is just been released this week. So for those people who didn't hear you when you were on the podcast twice before, when your first book, Naked Calories, and then your second book, Rich Food, Poor Food, came out. And so we encourage people, if you're enjoying this podcast, to go back and listen to those. But for those people that didn't listen,
they are knowledge bomb rich podcasts. I'm going to up that plug for previous podcasts.
Yeah,
and prepare for more. Well, we might just now have the most boring podcast ever, but I'm like, prepare for knowledge bombs. Every time us nutrient geeks get together, things happen.
There's
been a lot of new studies, some really great new studies coming out. So,
all right. So why don't you guys tell our audience about yourselves and your new book, a little, what we call our elevator pitch. Although I guess it's more apt to say like red light pitch, because a lot of people listen while they're commuting.
Stacey, yeah. A, that was the first time you ever said that before. And B, it's so clever. Why didn't you ever say that before?
I don't know.
I think from now on, it should be called the red light pitch. Always say elevator pitch, but clearly I'm just props with that analogy.
All right. Thanks. I have to take off my office worker hat and put on my podcaster hat in order to come up with fun new things for you. I'm glad that after 3 years, I could come up with one new thing.
Well, I mean, after 3 years, the bar's really low, so there's that.
All right, Jason and Mira.
All right, the red light pitch.
How do you want to do this, Amy? You want to talk?
Oh, the red light pitch. So the micronutrient miracle, if for us, you know, for anybody who doesn't know us, we are kind of the micronutrient people. We look at everything from the perspective of the micronutrient. A lot of people look at diet in all kinds of different ways, and that's great. You know, some people, they look at the macronutrients, they look at carbs, fats, and proteins. They want to manipulate those. Some people like to manipulate foods based on, you know, ratios like 40-30-30 or plant-based or what have you. Everything that we do, our desire is to be able to help you to achieve what we call micronutrient sufficiency. And we're talking about the essential micronutrients, the things like vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids, and amino acids. So with this book, we really wanted to dig in deep and kind of give you a little condensed version of our first two books. We wanted to give you the problem, which we think is micronutrient deficiency epidemic, with over 96% of Americans, according to the USDA's own statistics, being deficient. We wanted to give you a lot of the information we gave you in Rich Food, Poor Food. We wanted to take you through the grocery store and really talk about food quality and how important that is to your health and to micronutrient sufficiency. And then what's really unique about this is we dig deeper. We go into the kitchen, we go into your bathroom, and we go into all the, you know, the things in your house that we didn't cover in Rich Food, Poor Food. And we also give you a 28-day plan to actually follow, so you can really feel totally different within that 4-week period. So that's our
green light.
That's the pitch.
and so I'll add to that, having known that you were trying to squeeze in really short, in previous podcasts too, you can go back and listen to kind of where it all began based on Mira's health story and how you guys helped her recover and then translated that into helping others. So, Sarah, you kind of want to jump into some of these, this idea that you have of kind of like functional foods and how that ties to the micronutrient miracle, so to speak, of how those nutrient sufficiencies, or however we're describing it, can help people be their healthiest selves.
Yeah. So I've been writing books, and that means I've been diving into the depths of PubMed and getting my geek on frequently. And one of the concepts that has been really resonating with me lately is this idea of functional foods. And so functional foods being defined as any food that provides health benefit beyond basic nutrition. And it's really interesting because it's a concept in the scientific literature that like a lot of people don't like. you know, they don't like labeling food as functional food. And then what do you call everything else? Like non-functional. But at the same time, it's a concept that resonates with many, you know, scientists and researchers and nutritionists and people, because what you're talking about is food that like is conducive to health. And of course that's what we all want. And those of us in sort of the paleo movement, the alternative health movement, you know, the at various different diet, you know, tangential diet worlds, right? This is the whole message for us is, you know, how do we choose foods to promote health? And one of the things that I was sort of going through, like what makes a functional food? What makes a functional food in many cases is foods that are really, really rich in micronutrients. So their micronutrient contribution is really, really high compared to their, right, their basic keep you alive contribution, which was like, it's the energy. So beyond just what would keep you alive, what makes you healthy? And it's vitamins and minerals and a whole pile of, you know, bioactive, you know, plant phytochemicals and, you know, functional fats like long chain omega-3 fatty acids and monounsaturated fatty acids and essential amino acids and, you know, things that we can point to like this is what this nutrient does in your body. And this is the disease that when you have sufficient amounts of that nutrient, it helps prevent. And so there's then like, well, okay, you have to be able to measure it. So they're looking at things like obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancer, sort of like the big chronic illnesses that, you know, we can quantify. And the list of functional foods is really extensive. There's like, you know, the superfoods that we need, you know, that's sort of like the old term, you're sort of qualifying here. But to me, I loved this idea. And I love it because we have Mir and Jason on talking about micronutrients. And it's sort of, it's this way of highlighting, I think, foods that are maybe a little bit underrated. I wanted to talk a little bit about not just these foods that are rich in micronutrients, but what the micronutrients are in these foods and why they're so important, because it's a different way of approaching nutrition, right? And I think, you know, Mir and Jason, this is your thing. This is something that Stacey and I talk a lot sort of within the paleo movement. The paleo movement really started more from a evolutionary biology perspective. And what's happening now is those food choices are being reinforced with different methods of evaluation and different ways of looking at the merits of an individual food. So we look at it from a micronutrient perspective and go, yeah, these are the most micronutrient dense foods currently available in the food supply. And then we can look at it from a physiological and a cell biology and a molecular biology perspective and go, yeah, these are the foods that are most conducive to gut health, the, you know, gut microbiome, to cellular health, to, you know, to, you know, cardiovascular health and hormone health and immune system health. And it's because really when it boils down to it, it's about micronutrient sufficiency, as you guys already mentioned and have talked about extensively in Micronutrient Miracle. So I thought this would be a great place for us to geek out about micronutrients is what I thought.
Well, first of all, just bravo, because what you're saying is completely what we found. I mean, we went back to look at primitive societies, and that's when we traveled around the world. And what we found is that they didn't have to label a food as functional because there was no other reason for them to eat.
Or
a superfood. I mean, it was just all their foods served the same purpose. And that's why they chose them. Innate wisdom inside them in their communities would have told them this, that these are the ways. And then they prepared a certain way to boost the micronutrients. And they didn't even have to have this discussion. And yet we're today just going back and learning what somehow we seem to have forgotten along the way. And it's a perfect marriage right now because science is coming out at the very, very same time as we're all starting to look back, you know, like you said, with the paleo movement and with our travels around the world. And now science is coming out and marrying that, and they're coming out and saying, wait, we've done a study on this specific micronutrient and it really does help to reverse this disease. And it's just amazing because it's a perfect time. Well, we think it's a perfect time for micronutrients because in reality, we're getting the best of both worlds. We're able to look at this from an ancestral point of view and we're able to say, you know what? We can prove it now the way we couldn't have proven it before.
Yeah, we're coming together. I mean, just kind of as a side note, I'm on the board of review for the Journal of Functional Foods and Health and Disease, which is one of the biggest publications in that arena. I reviewed a paper by Jeffrey Bland the other day, which was kind of interesting. And it is an interesting time because we're having scientists look at it, like you said, from the perspective of what foods have the most micronutrient value, so to speak. And we're also having scientists on the other side of the coin coming forward and saying our diseases are definitively linked to micronutrient deficiencies. So this is why it's so important. And this is why somebody listening right now, you know, you should really get to put micronutrient in your vocabulary because it is where medicine and nutrition are kind of colliding and we're going there. Some foods are, like you said, kind of inherently superfoods or functional foods. Others are then kind of created. And there's a lot of that going on in industry, too. They want to create what they consider to be a functional food, which may, you know, to you and I or layman's terms, might just be a food bar or a food drink or, you know, what we might have used to call fortified foods. But we're doing it differently today. But it's with the same objective that fortified foods started out with decades ago, which was we need to get the essential micronutrients into the food where the people can get them, or we're going to have big problems in the future.
Yeah. So I love that you mentioned that you've got functional foods that are sort of natural whole foods, you know, apples would be a functional food, right? And then you've got these efforts in supplement companies and food production to add nutritive value to foods, to create functional foods from otherwise pretty not so great foods. One of the things that, you know, for me, okay, so I see two major barriers to improving public health generally. The first is education. And that's, of course, where we all find our niche, right? And I feel like there's so much misinformation out there and also a misdirected focus, right? So if you look at, you know, the four food groups that form my plate, they're not divided by nutrients. They're just divided by like how that food is produced, where it comes from. And if you actually looked at food and divided it by the types of nutrients it contained, you'd end up with a lot more than four groups, right? You'd have 10 or 12 different groups. But the reason why they don't do that is because of this idea that we need to simplify in order to make it accessible for the public, rather than provide, you know, a guideline that includes 10 different food groups, put grains in with junk food because they don't actually have much nutritive value, you know, and redefine food groups based on the micronutrients it actually provides for your body, and then provide the education for people to understand why those food groups, why serve the X servings from X group. And I think that, you know, there's this idea that we have to distill everything to this simple set of rules. Otherwise, people can't do it. And meanwhile, you know, people won't do it if they don't understand why. And it has nothing to do with what the general public, you know, has the capacity to understand. They have far greater capacity than they're typically given credit for, right? To understand scientific concepts. But it has to do with, right, you can't, if you keep simplifying it, you lose that heart of the message, which is your body needs, you need to get from food the raw materials that form every single structure within every single cell, within every single tissue, within every single organ in your body. And you need the raw materials for every single chemical reaction that's happening inside your body in every moment, right? You need those raw materials or your body can't do what it's supposed to do. And if you don't have the raw materials, then you can't be healthy. Like health requires, you know, you can't build a strong house without enough bricks, right? Without a good foundation, without, you know, the wood for framing, right? You need the materials to build a good house. You need the materials to build a healthy body. And so focusing on that, you know, that message, I think is really, really important. The other side of that coin, right? The other barrier we have to improving public health is that side of foods that don't do that are convenient, are super flavorful, are cheap, right? So we have these two sides of, right, helping people actually understand what a healthier choice is and then actually making it possible to make that healthy choice.
No, absolutely. First of all, we do try to make, you know, I understand that we do want to simplify enough to get people's interest. Because a lot of people, if we bring this on all at once, we scare the bejesus out of someone and never know, they never even want to hear what we have to say. So we do say that, you know, I've never actually asked someone, I would love to go in a room someday and just ask a room people, how do you think your cells function? Or what do you think is making your body run? Like, I really have no idea what they would probably say. I think it would actually probably be a fascinating study just to go into an average group of people and ask that. But we do try to simplify it in a way for people to understand. And what we always say is in this book, we did what we call the orchestra analogy. We explain that every single function of your body requires, you know, all the different instruments to be there in order to play the symphony, which is your thriving life. And we go into it much more detail in the book. We break it down into family members and all the different things. But we do try to give them just something to go on to get their interest that they can absorb, they can relate to, and they can move forward with. So I think, like, one of the things that this book does that we've been very successful with is we have a very simple approach to things, and then we break it down further from there.
Yeah.
Which I think is fantastic. Like, I don't think that the general public needs to have a bachelor's degree in biology in order to understand what the healthiest food choices are. Like, I think we can still break it down into a really accessible way, which is why I love that you guys are providing that level of detail and providing those types of analogies. And, you know, but still, like, let's talk about exactly what selenium does in the body, right? That's really important to understand.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what someone actually said to me today after seeing an interview. They wrote on my Facebook with their page, they said, you know, you made it really simplistic. And I said, you know what? You go on television, a 4-minute segment, and you get into what selenium does. Okay. It's like, this is not going to happen. The news reporter doesn't care. And you've got 4 minutes. We love the fact that people, once they get to know us, they actually do delve in really deep and they love getting the detail and the studies that they find out. And I think people really do enjoy it. It's just, they have to be introduced to it. I would love to see the MyPlate thing redone. That would be like a cool project. I think it'd be really amazing to see if we could actually break it down that way and diagram it in a way that had to do with nutrients. Well, I've never seen it done.
The problem with MyPlate, and you mentioned it, so, you know, I think for the listeners, they should know that basically MyPlate, if you don't know it by heart, which I wouldn't imagine you would and don't recommend you do, they don't even talk about them in the macro or micronutrients. They don't say carbs, fats, and proteins. They throw protein on there. Like it's the only, you know, macronutrient protein. So there's no carbs or fats. Instead, they don't want to call them that at all because those are just dirty words. So they're like, well, how do we come up with names that confuse people even more? So then they say vegetables, fruits, grains, and dairy. So that's it. I mean, that's all there is as far as my plate's concerned.
And I think dairy is only in a cup. You only get dairy if you're having a glass of milk.
Yeah. Well, that's how they kind of try to make it. So, you know. Let's not talk about micronutrients. Yeah. Let's simplify it to the point where you confuse everyone. And so this isn't, you know, you're right. The education is going to be a major roadblock. And you know, for many reasons, you know, one of them is because no two people I've ever met agree on what in the world we should be teaching anybody. So that's the challenge number one. We're all trying to get our, you know, whatever it is, our message out to people. And we're not actually, you know, we can't get a cohesive message because every time, you know, somebody else leaves office or the next time my plate is revamped, it's redone with somebody else's, you know,
take on it.
So it is a major issue. How do we fix that?
But the great thing is, regardless of dietary protocol, we can all believe that you need micronutrients. So it would make sense to do a plate based on micronutrients. Because I don't care if you're a vegan, you still need those same groups of micronutrients. And your plate would look exactly the same as someone who's paleo.
I just fist bumped you. That just happened. It was
back.
A virtual fist bump right there. and I think that's one of the things, right? We know, and you guys know from your travels, and we know from looking at, you know, hunter gatherers and sort of traditional populations that their macronutrient intake varies wildly depending on where in the world they are and what, you know, what foods they actually have access to. But one thing that is consistent across all those populations is micronutrient sufficiency. And so changing guidelines to focus on micronutrients and sort of letting macronutrients do whatever they will do, right? Like, we know even our ability to tolerate different macronutrients depends on micronutrients, right? Like, vitamin D sufficiency changes how your body responds to fructose, right? So we know that there's these links, and we only know the tip of the iceberg, right? But we can see from these traditional cultures that as soon as a human body has micronutrient sufficiency, the macronutrients don't matter as much.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, so people can, the way that we kind of try to explain it, and we don't really, we geek out a lot more with you guys on this podcast than we try to do for a lot of people, because we don't want to try to confuse people. But we look at the macronutrients kind of as the calorie guys, you know, they're the energy people. We need those things. Our bodies can utilize that, obviously, with, you know, protein also being a building block, but could be potentially used as energy in the body as well. And then we look at the macronutrients as kind of the workers, right? They're the ones doing stuff. They're creating hormone, building bones, contracting muscle, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. So, you know, food, you know, in nature has those two basic components to it. But unfortunately, in our 21st century world, and especially here in America, we have all the calories in the food, and sometimes more than we want. And there's a lot of research that shows, you know, that all kinds of different things, atmosphere and all this stuff, is raising the calorie value and the sugar value of our food without us even knowing it. But then we're also doing every single thing, you know, kind of like if you were to list out all the potential things that could lower micronutrient value in the food, we're doing it to our food in some way, shape, or form, from, you know, picking it, you know, way ahead of time because we want to be able to ship it without bruising. You know, obviously, if that food hasn't been able to ripen, well, think of it like a tomato on the vine, it's not going to have pulled all those vital nutrients out. So, you know, how could it have ever? And even if it does ripen, and even if we gas it like we do to make it look good, it's still micronutrient poor. Or, you know, if we – obviously everything we do to process these foods. And everybody's like, well, I don't eat processed foods. Well, I don't know where you're living or what dream you're dreaming. You're eating processed foods whether you know it or not. I mean, even if you go to a restaurant and order what you think is not processed, it's coming from a processed place the majority of the time. Now, obviously, there's a lot of us in the paleo and primal movement who really take food quality seriously. But even Mira and I, we definitely take food quality seriously. We eat processed foods. We can't get around it. And of course, processing brings down those micronutrients.
Not a lot of them. We're stuck doing it sometimes.
You're stuck. You're on an airplane. Okay, you're in a hotel.
Let's make that clear. Yeah. We don't have them in the house. He means
what,
like,
we're not
going to tell
him about Velveeta? Oh God. Okay. No. But the idea is, if we're eating these high caloric, micronutrient poor foods, it's just the prescription for disease. And the idea of what we try to do in the book is, we try to get you around that as much as possible. We really want to get you to eating these natural, you know, foods with the highest micronutrient value, and show you how to find those. And that's not the easiest thing in the world.
Let's talk about that, Jason. So let's talk about, like, functional components and functional foods. So, like, what I have a guess what you're going to say, but I'm still going to ask. What is the micronutrient that you are the most passionate about? Like, what's the one that you're like, yeah, we need this?
Oh my goodness. She has to.
Well, you asked me, but I've been doing a lot of talking. Okay. For me, I don't, you know, I don't have that superhero micronutrient, because
we get asked this all the time. It's really funny.
The way we look at them is an orchestra. I mean, that's like saying, what's your favorite instrument in a
symphony?
In the symphony. It's like,
I do have a favorite instrument.
What is your favorite instrument?
And I would say that my favorite nutrient would be healthy fats, because I think it kind of renders everything else functional and usable the way that it really needs to be. And it's also kind of a key factor in my own personal healing, to realize, like, what healthy fats were versus non-healthy fats, and how, as someone without a gallbladder, that was specifically creating nutrient deficiency in my own body, right? So I think everybody might have a different specific favorite nutrient, because either for their own personal health story, it helped them. Like, I would imagine, Mira, that you identify with calcium more than someone like me does, because I have what I've been recently.
Everyone hates calcium.
Right, but
I like it.
Right, but as someone...
I thought you were going to say calcium.
Yeah.
I was baiting you to say calcium.
As someone who doesn't have calcium malabsorption issues, like, it doesn't occur to me that calcium is that important, because in my body, calcium is easily absorbed and I don't have a problem with it, right? So it's like, in general, I think we all kind of have both, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, but then also like what is important to me, you know?
And Sarah, yours was saying zinc?
Mine's zinc, and I'll explain why. So it's because zinc is such a phenomenally, you know, it's a phenomenally important nutrient for immune function, but it's the second most dominant mineral in the human body next to iron, and it, you know, it controls something like 300 different genes, right? It is so important, right? Zinc is in the vitamin D receptor. So if you're zinc deficient, your body doesn't respond to vitamin D. So it's like, it has these like really sneaky, really like foundational roles in the human body. And yet something like, you know, 70% of Americans are not meeting the RDA of zinc. So it's like one of the ones that we're the most deficient in, but at the same time is like one of the most essential. And you can draw links between zinc deficiency and so many different chronic health problems because it's really, really fundamental for the immune system. So the immune system can't turn itself off well if you're zinc deficient. And of course, that means once you have a stimulator of inflammation, the inflammation continues, and we see inflammation as being part of the pathogenesis of every single chronic illness. So for me, zinc, it just resonates with me that zinc is just this mineral that, you know, it's in, right? It's in things like seafood and organ meat and or maybe to a lesser extent, so, you know, nuts and seeds, but it's in these foods that also people find gross. So it to me, I have a little soft spot in my heart for zinc is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I love zinc. I mean, you can really literally, I mean, each one, and I guess I do look at them as individual personalities, and I really see each micronutrient almost as a person these days. I mean, obviously zinc, awesome. I guess if I had to pin one down, I'd love vitamin D only because it's really not a vitamin, so it's unique in that way. And I love sunshine, so, and that's kind of how it's really cool that you can get a vitamin from sun, you know, or, you know, that's really the only one you can do that with. And it really plays a huge role in so many
steroid hormone, right? Like,
well, yes, it's right. So I guess, you know, it's the unique one, and it's the black sheep.
Well, I'm going to choose a really weird one because I just like it because I think we don't know anything about it yet. And it fascinates me that, well, first of all, we all know that we are totally in the, can we all agree that we're in the infancy of all this micronutrient research?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So I just think that we're just like literally scratching the surface. And for me, the one that I'm kind of in love with these days, or at least interested in these days, is vitamin E.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally weird, but I am, because there's so many different kinds of vitamin E, and they're just starting to figure out that the vitamin E that everyone's been taking and everyone's been looking at, the whole tocopherol family, it has nothing on top of the tocotrienol. It's like literally, it's like the bad step kid. Like there's so much more power in antioxidant power, and it's just a regenerative vitamin E. And then now they're linking it to bone health as well. And things that we never associated with vitamin E are all coming out now. And I think that's so cool.
And so fundamental, again, for immune system, right? For regeneration, right? Antioxidant.
Skin.
Yeah.
It's really important for good skin.
Well, it's really good for any barrier tissue, right? So any barrier is going to face more oxidative damage. And that's where you need such a phenomenally potent antioxidant doing its thing.
Right. And it's just crazy, though, because everybody, you know, no one was looking at all the different members of that family. And now it's kind of like what we're learning is that, well, we thought, you know, vitamin E served this function. It was just an antioxidant and just helping with cell damage. Then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, hey, look, this cool little member of the family over there, he's doing bone rebuilding. And this one over there. And so they're really starting to break down the family and say, you know, these things have so many more functions that we're not even giving them credit for. And that's why when people used to make supplements, they were really going blind at the very beginning because they didn't know what they were looking at. They didn't know that what parts of the different vitamins to use or what their functions would be or how to match them up well or anything like that. They were just throwing in something called vitamin E and hoping for the best.
Okay. So super fun geeky fact that I happen to know, which I don't know why I know this, but highest food source of vitamin E is sunflower seeds.
They are right up there next to almonds, hazelnuts, peanuts, and you're right, sunflower seeds.
Yeah. Yeah. So not like sea lion kidney, like the, what was the one nutrient that was high as a sea lion kidney? Do you remember, Stacey? We had one where we were like, fun fact, let's look up which is, you know, what's the highest food source of this nutrient? It was, oh,
I would imagine vitamin A, wouldn't it?
Sea lion kidney. Oh God, Matt would know it. Cause he's like the king of useless trivia. He's going to be so frustrated with me that I don't know it. It's the same thing that's in turkey that starts with a T, right?
Tryptophan?
Tryptophan. Yeah.
Tryptophan.
Oh, well, that's amazing.
I just pulled that out.
That's awesome to remember.
Stacey, okay, wait. I'm virtually fist bumping you now.
Okay, I thought you were about to tell me that you were going to Google it to make sure.
No. I am not that dedicated. So one of the things that I think would be interesting to talk about as we wrap up, because I think that you, like Mira, your point was absolutely amazing that we are just beginning to understand the roles of all of these essential micronutrients. And one of the groups of micronutrients that aren't even labeled as essential, but it kind of irks me, is these sort of plant phytochemicals, right? Things like, you know, polyphenols, right? Like those, we see this research that shows that we're healthier when we eat them, that they reduce risk of cancer and, you know, immune diseases and allergies and asthma, right? Cardiovascular disease. We can see that. And yet we don't understand exactly what they're doing in the body enough to be able to label them as essential or non-essential. Like we don't understand how our body's converting one form to another. We don't understand how much we need. We don't understand, right? There's several thousand of them. So we don't understand what each individual one does. And because we don't understand it, well, then we, even though we have this other research showing that the more of it you eat, the healthier you are, but we don't understand why. So we'll just label it as non-essential and we'll just kind of ignore it for now. And that kind of, it hurts me in my heart that that's the approach to this entire class of, you know, phytochemicals that, you know, most of them are antioxidant. A lot of them are used by the immune system to function normally. You know, we know that they can impact what kind of bacteria live in our gut and the health of those bacteria, like they're antioxidants for the gut bacteria as well. And then we know that they have these other like really amazing health benefits, and yet, you know, so we don't understand why. So we'll just, it's good. It's good. Polyphenols are good. Yeah, you should get some of them. You know,
they're like the redheaded stepchildren of the micronutrient family. And
as a redheaded stepchild, I appreciate that. You just said I'm the vegetables of the nutrient world.
Hey, I think they could turn out to be quite powerful. But even the essential micronutrients aren't. They don't. I mean, even some of like chromium. Chromium isn't even considered necessarily essential
depending on when you ask.
And choline, I think, just became. And I don't have the exact date. And I wish I remembered everything I thought I professed to know. But I think it was like became essential in like 1986 or something. So it's ridiculous. It's a lot of these things will be coming to the forefront. And yeah, I think we're going to have a lot more of these essential micronutrients popping up.
But here's the cool thing about the polyphenols and all that is that the great thing is none of us are saying not to eat the food. We know that they're necessary. So the great thing is the food itself, because it is whole and natural, it was created to have all these different things in it. Yeah. The fact that we're so silly and not quite there yet in knowing what they all do or how they function, you know, in some ways it might just keep us from making food not necessary. I mean, I worry in some ways that, you know, we see these people making these, I don't know, what is that drink thing that guy creates, something green or whatever?
Soy and green,
where, you know, you won't need to eat anymore. And I'm thinking like, you know, if people start manipulating too much, we'll lose some of the benefit of food itself. And that's why food is so powerful, because there are so many components we don't understand.
So
yeah, I agree 100%.
So with that, there are people, Matthew McCary, who wish that like the Soylent Green would be something that he actually could do, because as specifically people with disordered eating or people who are addicted to foods that aren't healthy. And I think, Sarah, you and I were talking earlier and talked about how people will, the majority of the time, make a decision to eat an unhealthy food, even if they know that it's not the case. And while that might surprise those of us listening, the fact that McDonald's and KFC still exists tells me that that's the case, right? Like, everybody knows that McDonald's and KFC are
healthy foods. The statistic is 60%. 60% of people will eat a food even though they know it's bad for them.
So then it kind of gets to the question is, you know, where there are some people, for example, my husband has publicly declared to me several times that he wishes that there was like a paleo version of Soylent Green so that he could just know that he's getting exactly what he's getting without the emotional attachment of food or without the temptation of things that he knows that he shouldn't be eating. And I used quotations for should because I don't like that word, but chooses to eat anyway. And so I guess that kind of leads in to what I know you guys are kind of focused on right now, this alternative approach to, you know, to the people who can't get, and celiac and kidney is not a necessary food, but to
find everywhere,
right. To those people who have a really difficult time, for example, with organ meat. Like, I know Sarah and I get comments from people all the time that they want to eat organ meat because they know how very nutrient rich it is, but that they have a difficult time stomaching it. And despite their wanting to eat it, they still find it difficult to consume, right? So this idea of, you know, if, for example, like my father, who lives off of lean cuisine and microwavable bacon. I love you, Dad. But, you know, I got him on cod liver oil, fermented cod liver oil, and it helped his cholesterol almost immediately. Like, his doctor said he was taking what could only be assumed to be rancid fish oil, and I got him to switch to fermented cod liver oil, and it immediately affected his cholesterol to where his doctor said, you don't need to take statins anymore. So,
bravo.
Right. So for people like that, who, you know, there's like this simple thing that someone could do, even though we know that they're not willing to make, for example, a lifestyle change, or they have a difficult time not saying no to making a bad choice 60% of the time, or whatever that statistic is. I know you guys have kind of focused on in your book and with some supplements, what those people, for example, my father, it might benefit him to take the supplement line that you guys have, right?
Right.
So is that kind of the intent?
Yeah, absolutely. We say we're food first people. If you can do it all through food, bravo. Good job. You're really dedicated. And that's fantastic. And when we love that, and that's what they do in the tribes. There's no supplements going on in the tribal communities, in case you're wondering. But for the realistic person who doesn't want to do that, or for your father or my mother, for instance, we say, you know what, supplementation is a necessary third step. So in the book, we go through 9 different health protocols, and then we say these are the foods that are proven to best benefit that condition that you're trying to get rid of or what you're trying to achieve, and we say they tell you how to do it first out of food. And then we also say, you know what? We also tell you how to do it with supplements, because we live in a real world where we know that a lot of people will find that easier, and it's a good cushion, and it's not necessary for the vast majority of Americans these days to take supplements.
Yeah.
Until we spread this education and change the world.
One dad at a time.
One dad at a time. So, okay, Stacey, I do have to take a step back because you mentioned Matthew McCary. And, okay, so Soylent Green came out before I was born. I'm just going to say that.
It's being modified.
But wait, because wasn't it made out of people? Wouldn't that be paleo? So I mean, it'd be cannibalism, but it would be paleo.
I think the difference is Soylent Green and something that's coming out now called just Soylent. Is that right, Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's coming out as a new product. It's basically like soybean oil. I mean, if you read it's not paleo at all. It is not paleo.
I might just Google that now.
Yeah, you should.
After saying I'm not dedicated enough to Google.
So no. I think totally Google that.
I think human glue would have.
It'll take you
down. The original human glue would have been better, I think.
It's going to be a black hole for you, especially knowing that, like, so basically if there's a person out there that wants to take on this project, Matthew McCary would be willing to spend his entire monthly budget purchasing it. a paleo like version of Soylent is essentially like, I think the closest thing you're going to get is the Nourishing Traditions homemade breast milk formula. Like, you know, like that's the closest you're going to get. And that's made with raw milk and liver. You know, it's like,
I found it disgusting.
I know.
What's the ingredient?
Go, you want to talk? And keeping in mind that this is
broad ingredient.
This is entirely what someone's going to consume.
Soy protein, algae oil, isomaltulose, and vitamins and minerals. Each bottle is designed to include 1/5 of all essential micronutrients.
1/5.
So you have to drink 5 of these a day.
You have to drink 5 of them a day.
And you get no other nutrition. Like, this is it.
Well, the whole thing is, okay, so here's a perfect example. It might contain your essential micronutrients.
One fifth of the essential micronutrients it contains.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's not going to have everything.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not real food, nor is it functional, nor is it our future.
Yeah, I don't even think that you consider that a functional food, would you, Sarah?
I guess, you know what would be really fun? I don't know if you ever – go ahead.
Oh, I was just going – I found more. I found another where it also says brown rice protein, oat flour, and sunflower oil.
Mm.
So they apparently have multiple formulas.
If we went to the functional food show – I don't know if you've ever gone to those, but we go – it'd be really fun to do a podcast from there because you really go around and you get to see what like they're all coming up with. And some are like pretty smart. And then some are just really not smart. And I think you guys, it would actually be a really fun thing for you guys to do.
Yeah. / horrifically depressing. And I mean, yeah. Yeah. So instead, I don't know if my...
Okay. So you'll notice that I said that the real food equivalent for this stuff was Nourishing Traditions homemade breast milk and not like Ensure, right? Because that's the alternative people are consuming like SlimFast and Ensure, like it is also a whole food. So I think we can summarize this conversation by saying all of those things are not going to give you all of the stuff that we've talked about today, that no matter how hard we try, like, you cannot replace the nourishing aspects of real food and the variety, specifically with eating as often as possible, local, organic, pastured. The you know, best source possible is obviously going to be the most nutrient-rich source possible. For those people that, you know, can't prioritize that or have a difficult time prioritizing that, looking at, you know, what areas of your diet you may have deficiencies in, or working with a medical professional to identify them, which Sarah and I have both done, can yield health results. And that's a lot of what Mira and Jason focus on. So with that said, maybe you guys can tell people where they could find you and remind them of your book and your website and all that kind of stuff.
Cool. So yes, thank you. So Calton Nutrition, Calton Nutrition.com. That's where you'll find us. And we just want to let everyone know that we're doing something really wild for this book launch, because we know that that quality that we all love to eat isn't necessarily available in everyone's neighborhood. And sometimes it can get expensive. People, you know, might not be able to prioritize it, like you said. What we decided to do is, for the launch of this book, we went to like 5 of our favorite companies. And I'll say who they are. And I know you know them. We went to 5 of them and we said, we want you guys to give back. And they said, okay, we are going to give to every single person who buys a copy of the book. So Vital Choice is giving you $50 to spend. $50 at Vital Choice alone for buying a copy of our $15 book. U.S. Wellness Meats, they're doing another $50. Another one is Wild Things Seafood and Steaks. They're giving you another $50. So there you go. You got a lot of protein coming your way if that's what you want to get. Then we have Thrive Market, which is giving you $20 to spend and 2 months free membership. And on top of that, we have Cassandrino's olive oils, and they're giving you $25. So you end up with And I guess we can announce the new one.
You'll be the first person that we've announced this to.
We added more swag.
So not only are these not – these are not buy 200, get 50. These are go with the $50 gift certificate and you spend it exactly the same as you would your cash. So – and now because we really wanted just to make this a no-brainer. I mean, you know, our goal –
like what are you people waiting for?
Is just to have everybody buy a copy of the book so that they can read it. But we also really want to give back. So what we did – is we went to the publication company Rodale, and we asked them if they would be willing to give something for everybody who buys the book, and they are going to give a year's subscription to any one of their Rodale publications that anybody wants. There's no strings attached.
I don't even see the Organic Life. Rodale's Organic Life is beautiful.
They got that. They got Women's Health. They got Prevention Magazine. Any of their publications that you'd normally have to pay for, you don't have to sign up for 4 or 5 years to get the year. It's just a free year subscription. That's another $49 value. So we're over $250 worth of value.
For a $15 book. And you can get the Kindle. It's like 12.
I mean, I don't know. You know, you don't have to have been a great math major, but this it's a good deal. It's kind of like 1 + 1 equals 250.
So, yeah, we're going to link it up below this.
Yes. So the link will be in the show notes. And, this is pretty epic. Epic. With a capital E.
Well, thank
you. You know those companies. They're good on
his
companies.
Well, I know I'm a huge advocate of some of those companies, so I think that's awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And like you said, there will be links in the show notes to your site, your previous podcasts, your books. I just actually referred someone to Rich Food, Poor Food the other day at my office because they were they have an autoimmune condition and they're like really not ready to make like even real life paleo first step, like even just going gluten-free, refined sugar-free kind of overwhelmed them. So I was like, they said, do you know if they have a book out there that's paleo friendly? That's like, eat this, not that. And I was like, they do have a book out there for that. And I was like really excited that existed because they like asked for the book that you had already written. So hopefully they can make steps towards the positive, but those links to that podcast and reference your other books will be in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure as always to listen to you guys geek out.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you. We literally look forward to coming on this show every time we have a new book. So we're going to hurry up and write another one.
My important adrenals.
Believe me, I understand. I mean, like, okay, this is my challenge. How do I write a book and not destroy my health? I'm like, this is my goal. I'm working on it.
There's a book in that.
Someone needs to write that.
Guys, I've solved this problem. Sure. I have the resolution to your concern.
What?
Don't write any more books.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go lay out in the sun and get some vitamin D.
Yep.
My back, you guys.
Just kidding. That's my own solution. All right. Well, it was great to have you on, and I'm sure we'll be in touch soon. For our listeners, if you've enjoyed the show, feel free to listen back to the previous podcast. And we love it when you leave reviews in iTunes. We really, 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 really love it, especially Matt, who stalks it like crazy and always tells me what you put on there. So
I don't think he had enough relays.
Really, 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 really. Also, he is looking for Paleo Soylent. So if you're a business wanting to produce that, please contact us.
Well, thanks very much, guys. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
Hello.
Do you ever hear that Moody Blues song? It's like, breathe deep, the gathering gloom. It's like really depressive. My mom used to make me listen to that song all the time. It's like some creepy guy, like, I don't even know what he says because I tuned it out after like a bajillion times of listening to it. Anyway, I've like got that in my head.
So, fun fact about me, I doodle typically the entire time that I'm podcasting.
Except
my doodling capabilities.
Except when you get googly eyes and then you make like googly eye things.
Then it makes googly eye creatures. Yes.
Oh, that's
my favorite. Where my googly eyes are right now.
What was your best Instagram of all time?
Okay. Yeah, I've had some pretty epic Instagrams. You're saying that one was the best.
That one, hands down, I can't even think of another one that's within contention of that.
I'm ready to be micronutrient geeks.
Okay.
It's like my favorite thing to do. The Soylent Green. Or Soylent. Those are some pretty scary ingredients, I just want to say.
I'll let Matt read them all out for you.
But canola oil was the first ingredient.
I'll let Matt know that your official medical evaluation of that product is that it is not acceptable.
That's yes. My official statement is anybody who even has the vaguest idea of who you are should know better to piss you off. Like,
no idea.
Bumper stickers that say this, I'm pretty sure.